episode 13-1. My name is Dave Hunt, joined by Michael Swick.
You know what? I'm going to pretend you didn't say that, and just be like, you know what?
What about 131? Can we do 131?
That sounds slightly better than 13-1.
It's episode 131. My name is Dave Hunt, and I'm joined by Michael Swick. I'm also messing with him because he's slightly sick, and I can see his facial reactions, and you guys can't, so...
Yeah. People on Twitch can see my facial reactions. Twitch.tv/digitaldaysgaming. I am kind of sick, so I'm going to be all over the place. Andy's over there watching, hoping I have some bad takes, because I just like took a shot of DayQuil, took some nasal spray. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, man, your little tease made it worth that he actually came to watch our episode, so like that's always a win. So
yeah, but still have my Coke. Still on my Coke. Not sponsored yet.
See his face in the beginning of a sick goatee. Are you talking about like a sick goatee as in like he's sick and he has a goatee because he hasn't shaved? Or it's actually like a really good looking goatee that you think is going to look sick when it's done? Because that's not this the case.
This is the evil timeline. This is going to be fucking badass. This is actually like... This is like a good month of work on my face right now. So
I can't, for the record, I can't find, like, as you know, like Facebook memories or I don't know if you use like Google Photo or anything like that where it's like, hey, look back on this day or whatever. I can't find a picture of me without a beard.
I feel like Angela posted one not too long ago.
For my birthday, she did. But those were like okay. When I was like in my early, like some of those pictures she posted were like my early 20s.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it just looked weird. Just like something wrong had happened.
Like, I don't know if Owen would recognize me without a beard.
Do you know what your chin looks like anymore? Like, if you, like, shaved it, would you just be like, huh, that's what that looks like?
I don't like that dent. I'm going to back.
Yeah, yeah.
So, all right, enough of that randomness. So, obviously, we are Digital Days Gaming. We're a weekly podcast that posts every Thursday, 6 a.m. Eastern Time on podcast services around the world. Please subscribe if you aren't. Please leave a review if you haven't. With words would be extra special, and we would appreciate it. As Michael alluded to, you can watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv/digitaldaysgaming, where you can see his sick goatee and my much better-looking beard. That actually needs to get trimmed, but I'm waiting till the wedding in the early June to get cleaned up. twitch.tv/digitaldaysgaming, where we are in a Twitch affiliate, so you can subscribe to us through Amazon and Twitch if you use it that way, or you can subscribe to us just as a paid sub, or hang out and somebody might gift a sub, because we've got a really cool community. And we will, as I always say, try to stream more and not. I just haven't done it. But anyways, there's a bunch of links in the show notes for you to join our community and check out some stuff. So we've got a decent chunk of news, some stories I think that will be have some interesting takes back and forth. I don't think either one of us played very much because he was sick, and my job's kicking my butt.
Yep. I'll have stories of me just watching YouTube. That's basically as far as my energy level's been. But let's hop into the news. The first story... Fall Guys is finally coming to PS5, Xbox, and Switch in June, and it is going free-to-play. So Fall Guys has been on PS4 and PC, but it's finally getting that PS5 native port. But the Xbox and Switch versions, which were supposed to come out last year, I believe, but got delayed, are finally coming out June 21st. And the big thing is, it is going to be free-to-play when it does, you know, cross-play, all that stuff. Current owners of the game will get like free legacy packs when the game goes free to play. So they're taking care of the people that have like bought the game, even though they don't really have to. I always hate when people are like, oh, they owe it to the people that spent money. It's like, you got to play the game until then. You've been paid in full.
I would probably say 75% of your PlayStation user base is from Plus.
Yeah. So those people are good. Like, yeah.
So not only you got it as a Plus benefit, now you get the stuff as a quote unquote founder because you played when the game was out and you just happened to download it last summer or whatever. I think you and I talked about this when this launched, that obviously it being on Plus kind of made it like free to play, and they probably had a quick surge after that of either people that didn't have PS Plus or didn't redeem the game during that month. And so they had a quick spike from then. But if I had to guess, it's probably their player base or active users has probably been dwindling.
Significantly.
And then the easiest way to to give that a jolt is to do what they're doing. And mm-hmm. with all the cosmetics and the quick pick up and play, like, this sounds amazing for the Switch. As well as just like, oh, that looks cool. Okay, here's $5. Like, or here's $3. Like, I don't even know. And then I know a lot of the stuff you can grind and still buy. At least I thought at one point in time you would earn stars or earn their currency, right? And you can use the currency to purchase cosmetics, and as well as crowns, I think equated to like 2 crowns equal 200 stars. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Basically, if you got a crown in a game, you'd get exponentially more stars to unlock stuff during their season. And then they had a separate store that you could just outright just buy outfits. Yeah. Like the Sonic outfit and all the other crossovers that they had. So this will definitely bring some much needed life to it. Definitely, I know me and my group who were playing it pretty solid that summer it came out have been looking for a reason to hop back, and it seems like the perfect reason to jump in, especially on the Switch. Like, I was debating on when it was coming to the Switch, like, oh, am I going to put $20 down on it on the Switch? And now I don't have to consider that. I do want to know how they're going to handle maybe some cross progression, because I have unlocked a lot of stuff. I don't know if I'm going to want to start another character.
Well,
I could have researched that.
Doesn't Epic own them?
Yeah, yeah. So I'm hoping they have that all taken care of and figured out.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, I'm sure Epic's been pushing this of like, hey, look at the data. Like, your game is like Fortnite Junior, but like significantly smaller. But
yeah,
in terms of like the quick play, you know, kind of pick up and go, play 2 matches and stop. You know, like, this is totally fine, and I think this is cool.
Yeah,
I don't really feel like there's anything bad about this. Other, like, the only thing that could be crazy cool about it too is, like, when it first came out on PlayStation, they were doing, and I can't remember some of them, but they were doing some pretty cool crossover events, like where off the top of my head I don't remember. I know they did like a medieval season, but they also had some, I feel, didn't they have like a Sackboy outfit, or am I wrong?
I believe they had was it a Ratchet and Clank? They did have special like PlayStation centric outfits,
like,
and then
I think
Sonic
it'd be kind of cool. Yeah, I think it'd be kind
of
cool, like, you know, obviously easily like Halo or Mario, like if they could get any of that stuff, like if they would, if Nintendo would let them. You know, I think Microsoft would. I don't know why Microsoft wouldn't, but, you know, like,
PlayStation let Kratos go on to Fortnite and Xbox, so.
Yeah. Even something as crazy as, like, you know, get a, as weird as this sounds, like, get a discount on the Mario skin if you download the game on Switch, you know?
Yeah. I mean, the Kingdom Hearts Melody of Memory, if you bought that on Switch, you get an extra song to have in Smash Brothers. So there's definitely the possibility for all sorts of like cross-pollination synergy over on the Switch. It does say cross progression. I just don't know how exactly that's going to work, but it is going to get full cross play and cross progression support. We'll just see how that exactly works. Cause I have not played the game in a while, since at least I haven't played since Epic had acquired them. So I don't know if it makes you make an Epic Games account now or how they're handling that. I'm assuming if that's not already part of the game, it will be once it launches.
It will be with the free-to-play. Yeah.
Yeah. They'll definitely need to make you make a Game Pass account, which, or not a Game Pass, a Epic Games account, which is going to be my nightmare, because I think I have like 2 of those and attached to different emails. So we'll figure that out when it comes. But yeah, that's just cool to see. I love Fall Guys, and they're going to add new game modes when it comes out on June 21st. All right.
Yeah, you've been raving about this game since you played it at E3 like years ago, and you're like, this is fun. Like, this is this is totally
fantastic.
Like the drinking party game, you know.
Like, this would probably be perfect for like Owen on his Switch, of just like, here's a game to download. I don't know how like rage quitty he gets, but like,
yeah.
It could be really good for like Owen, because like you don't have to explain anything to him. Like,
are you gonna buy me the Nerf sleeve for my Switch?
No, but we'll email out to Nerf just to see if we can get that sent to us. All right, the next story is basically a bunch of Silent Hill rumors that are going on that pretty much kind of confirm that Silent Hill is coming. All right, so last week a bunch of images leaked onto Twitter that appear to be a new Silent Hill game. And Konami DMCA'd every single image that was on the internet, but denied, but wouldn't comment on like if there is a Silent Hill game. But if they felt the need to DMCA all the images, there's very likely these were real images. because they didn't DMC all the fan art and all the weird stuff that's out there. They only got rid of these images. So Konami's been completely silent on this, but Video Games Chronicles did state that Konami at one point, or possibly currently, have three Silent Hill projects in the work: a Silent Hill 2 remake, a full sequel, and then an episodic game. They couldn't confirm if all three projects are still in the works or not, but they know that at one point all three of these projects were being developed. But it isn't clear.
All three could be the same game, too.
Yeah, it could be.
Well, I guess not a remake. You're not going to do an episodic remake.
But. Yeah, yeah. You'd be crazy to, like, yeah, remake a classic game and then call it, you know, episodic.
Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah, yeah. People were quick to point out that Bloober Team, the developers from The Medium, Layers of Fear, and Blair Witch, did sign a deal with Konami sometime last year. But when they signed that deal, they refused to say if they were working on a Silent Hill game or anything. But if you hire Bloober Team, they made Layers of Fear in The Medium. Mm-hmm. They're probably working on this this game. So Konami still is refusing to comment. Bloober Team said they can't comment on any Silent Hill rumors, but they did say they are working on a game that's on a very popular IP that they're hoping to share with soon. And then they also said they had two other games in the works as well. An original game and then some other project. Dave, do you think Konami is kind of finally dipping their toes back into game development? Or at least video games?
Sure. There's really not much that Konami does that sparks my interest. Years ago, I would quote unquote draw the short straw, and I would go to the Konami booth.
Yeah.
And it would be like Pro Evolution Soccer. I think the one year that I actually I enjoyed Contra, that asymmetrical Contra, mm-hmm, they released. But it's just it's so hard. They've had so much problems with Pro Evolution Soccer. And just in general, Konami's just had some challenges that I'm just worried that they just might be too far in the weeds. Like, they just might be too lost. Like, how do you not have a studio? Like, you're Konami and you built this franchise. Like, how do you not have a studio that can do this, that you have to go outside your studios?
They did. It was called Kojima Productions, and they gutted the shit. Or Kojima, after he got fired, gutted that studio and then made his own Kojima Production studio.
So I guess I'm going to plead ignorance here. Kojima did Silent Hill also?
He was going to do PT under his
studio. Right, I knew that.
Yeah. And that was
Who did Silent Hill prior?
Konami, it was just a Konami thing, but Konami never... Konami did the thing where... Kind of like Ubisoft does, where every studio's named Ubisoft.
Okay, that's fine. So. I don't really know much about Konami, just because there's not any reason to in the last... since post-high school for me.
Yeah. Well, especially when you got into the game industry, you remember the Konami booth? Like, it would just be an empty booth that they said Konami, and there would be security guards that are like, don't take picture of the logo. And you're just like, the fuck? It's just a logo, and it's in a public space.
I mean, they've given me some of the coolest stuff. When you go there, I had that soccer ball. Like, Owen still plays with that soccer ball. I guess, again, as a game journalist, air quote games journalist, podcaster, whatever you want to call me, sports game are something that I enjoy playing and was better at years ago as well, but picking up playing any kind of soccer game with a bunch of other journalists that don't enjoy sports that are there because they have to be there, like, you get more attention because you can actually play the game correctly.
I don't know how I feel about them giving Silent Hill to Bloober Team. Like, I liked The Medium enough, and I liked Layers of Fear enough.
I don't think they have this horror genre down enough to do this, right?
Or at least not on the scale that you would want a Silent Hill
psychological horror. Silent Hill is supposed to be... I don't play horror games at all.
Silent Hill is supposed to be a combination of both. I feel like... Bloober Team have always been, at least with the games that I've played, the first Layers of Fear and I played half mm-hmm. a Medium. Yeah. They've always felt like they've just been missing just a little something. And I don't necessarily think it's that they're missing budget or something. It's just mm-hmm. something about it.
They're not getting the hook right.
Yeah, they have like cool ideas that work for like smaller games, but can they scale up to a Silent Hill 2? Especially if we're jumping to Silent Hill 2, which is like the most beloved one in a franchise. A lot of pressure.
And to your point, like whether good, bad, or indifferent, whether you enjoyed them or didn't enjoy them, there wasn't a lot of press or clamoring for. I didn't hear a lot about Blair Witch and Medium. Like Medium, kind of. It came out on Game Pass. It was part of this Microsoft deal, and you and I both messed around with it and played it. And I didn't hate it. I didn't love it. I didn't dislike it. I didn't enjoy it. Like I was just like it. It was there. I played it for a little while, and nothing drew me back to it. And then it came. It has come out on PlayStation, correct?
Yeah, it came out on PlayStation like probably 6-8 months later.
Yeah, and again, I didn't see a huge uptick spike in the conversation around it. Not that it's bad or it's good. It's just, it's there. It exists. So.
Medium benefited a lot for being a Game Pass game. Also, just being an exclusive to Xbox when it was, just because we'll talk about it later, Xbox just really doesn't have a lot of exclusives that they've released over the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. So the Medium definitely got more of a platform because of those circumstances. And I feel like it just wasn't good enough to take advantage of that platform. Like, no one is screaming for, like, a Medium 2, you know? Like, the people were excited before it came out, and then it came out, and they're like, this is okay. And then they moved on quickly, when it could have really taken advantage of the platform that it was on.
I would actually compare it significantly to the Bethesda game that just came out on PlayStation, Ghostwire Tokyo. Mm-hmm. Like, again, like, not good, not bad, there, okay, it happened. People pointed at the deal that the Xbox made with Blooper Team. Haha, look, you got this exclusive thing, and it's not carrying anything. And then you look at Ghostwire Tokyo, and people are like, okay. Like,
yeah. it definitely felt like... But it wasn't at, like... Because there's a certain amount of, like... Ghostwire Tokyo came with a little bit more polish, and it came with a little more budget. Which definitely helps that, even though it was a disappointing release. So I don't know. And then also I'm worried about, like, Konami doesn't really do games anymore. So, like, how much budget are they really going to give Bloober Team to remake this game? If that's who is making it, because they don't really have any internal studios anymore. So it's not like they're going to, and we haven't heard anyone of, like, them mass hiring people for, you know, Konami internally. So, if they are giving it to Blooper Team, it's like, are they really going to give them enough budget to actually make this matter?
And at the same time, we haven't seen Blooper Team getting very much bigger either. If they've got three different games in development, that's a concern for mine as well, as you're not seeing the hiring, you know.
Yeah. Unless it's been really quiet, but we'll see what happens with this. There's also part of the rumor is that it is being potentially, like, exclusive for PlayStation, which probably means PlayStation will kick money into it, which then hopefully will alleviate some of my concerns. But we'll see how that goes. All right. Next story. Square Enix is looking to open some new studios. So a week after selling three studios, Square Enix said they'll look into expanding their current stable of studios in the future. They're hoping this will help them streamline development and create new IPs by establishing new studios. I just put this in there because... To me, it makes perfect sense to do this because it wasn't working with those studios, or at least under their expectations.
Yeah, I
get it. It's just frustrating.
I don't think opening new studios is an idea. I think expanding on the studios you have that have already
done the work,
are already established and have a solid foundation built. I always believe, in addition to, I don't know how to phrase this correctly, but growing a studio is always a little bit better than trying to start a new one, because when you start a new studio, it means new facilities, new manager that you don't know, I don't know what to call a new lead developer that's running your studio that maybe does or doesn't know how to do it. There just seems to be like a much higher risk than like having a second team that's, you know, that you can have somebody in charge of, but they still have to report to somebody that's been running a studio for years.
Yeah, well, the only thing I can think of that would work for this scenario is if, like, you have, like, a co-director at a current studio that is just like, you know what, they deserve their own shot, let's spin off a new studio for that talent, to keep that talent, because, you know, you can only keep, like, executive, you know, like people that are just under the lead of a studio there so long before they leave on their own anyways.
I just feel like if that's important enough, you just give him his team. Like I don't see the difference between like, oh, it's Michael Swick's gaming versus you being underneath Konami's umbrella or Square Enix's umbrella as Michael's team.
Well, I would assume it just allows them to at least not have to answer to the, you know, their previous boss. They can move them aside and be like, all right, here's your own budget, as opposed to eating a budget out of like a main studio. But to me, I know people are like, well, they just got rid of three studios. Why are they going to add more studios to it? It's just like,
these will be Eastern studios.
Yeah. it's going to be their own studios that they're building from the ground up, as opposed to studios that they acquired through acquisitions. And those studios, according to them, were not financially viable. So it just, they want to do something. And basically they want to make, they can't keep Crystal Dynamics and tell them not to do Tomb Raider games. I mean, they can, but people will immediately be like, why the fuck aren't they doing Tomb Raider? At least now, if they make a new studio that can make exactly what Square Enix wants, they don't have to worry about, like, you know, a past. So, like, it allows them to make a new studio. It's just funny timing, you know, this them cutting three studios and now being like, let's make some studios, because we need teams now. So, all right. Okay, here we go. I had to take a breath because I'm sick, but also because I felt like I was going crazy yesterday, and it might have been because I was sick. But the PlayStation details the PS Plus lineup, so they basically listed the sum of the PS4, PS5 games you're going to get in that mid-tier, and then also they showed a very small sample size of the classic games that are being put on the premium tier. Dave, I will read off some of these games. So on the extra tier.
So this is the second tier.
Yeah, and these are PS4/PS5 games.
This is the $90 tier.
Yeah, yeah. Don't confuse me by throwing numbers out there. But yes, this is that mid-tier.
There's a 60, 90, 120.
Okay.
One, two, perfect. Three.
All right.
So that's where we're at.
Yeah, this is the mid-tier. All right, so from PlayStation Studios, we're going to get... fuck it, I'll just read the whole thing. Let's see how my throat does. Alienation, Bloodborne, Concrete Genie, Days Gone, Dead Nation, Death Stranding, Director's Cut. Death Stranding and Death Stranding's Director's Cut. So it's kind of cool that they're putting both the...
Well, I think it has to do with if you don't have PS5.
I believe the Director's Cut also came out on a PS4 as well, but I could be wrong there. I know that's not the case for Ghost of Tsushima, which we'll talk about. Demon Souls, Destruction All-Stars, Everybody Golfs, Ghost of Tsushima's Director's Cut is the only one listed. God of War, Gravity Rush 2, Gravity Rush Remastered, Horizon Zero Dawn, Infamous, Second Light and First Light, Second Sun, Knack 2, Little Big Planet 3, LocoRoco Remastered, LocoRoco 2 Remastered, Spider-Man, Miles Morales, Matterfall, Medieval, Patapon, Patapon 2 Remastered, Resogun Returnal, Shadow of Colossus, Tearaway Unfolded, The Last Guardian, The Last of Us Remastered, The Last of Us Left Behind Remastered, Until Dawn, Uncharted The Nathan Drake Collection, Uncharted for a Thief's End, Uncharted Lost Legacy, Wipeout Omega Collection. Those are your first party games that are coming at launch, though this isn't the complete list. I don't know why they didn't just release a complete list, but we'll find out next week when it launches in Asia. What do you think about the first party offering for that PS4, PS5 tier?
It's all things that I would, like I said, that they had to have on there.
Yeah.
So there is a lot of must-play games on there. There is a lot of, you know, there's a lot of substance on there. The two things that jump out to me the most is no Last of Us 2 and no Ratchet & Clank.
Yeah, yeah. And the Last of Us 2 is even more confusing because it came out before Ghost did. And then especially before Ghost Director's Cut, which makes me think...
The speculation is that there's a Last of Us 2 remaster or remake coming.
Yeah, a Director's Cut probably, because that seems to be the thing they want to do. Those immediately popped out too. Like,
I have no idea why Ratchet & Clank is not on there. Like, everything has been... Like, all of we have heard is that it's sold very well.
It's probably still selling really well.
Yeah, I guess in comparison, it shows the... and I use this term lightly because I don't really know, but the lack of success of Returnal, in my opinion, if they're, you know, if they're putting it on there right away, unless it's in the hopes of, you know, giving Housemarque more data to make a better game later. Like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But it's, this is fine. Like, this is,
yeah,
this is what, you know, this is what people, what I wanted in terms of, you know, like, if your $90 version is your competitor to Game Pass, sure. To Game Pass Ultimate, sure. If you want to have that conversation, you can have that conversation. The problem that me speaking into this microphone has, as somebody that's the reason why I like Game Pass as much as I do, is because there is a plethora of games that I haven't played that are still currently on Game Pass. Almost everything that you read, I have either played, or I own, or I'm choosing not to play.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that I have an extensive PlayStation background. So, like, there, you know, similar to some people that were giving us, you know, like, giving a shit about Game Pass before, because, like, oh, I've played all those. That, like, yes, like, I'm giving you my perspective. I haven't played those games on that are on Xbox Game Pass. Almost everything that's on here, with the exception of Ghost of Tsushima, which I now own because we bought it digitally for my son at Christmas as a Christmas gift, and we share it on both of our PlayStations. Like, I haven't played it yet, but it is what it is. Like, we covered PlayStation for a very long time.
Yeah, and because it's only PS4 and PS5, they just, there aren't many deep cuts that you can pull for this tier, unfortunately. But we'll go over the third-party stuff, because this is where, I don't know if I'm quite disappointed with the third-party stuff. First-party stuff, I think it's pretty good. They're only missing really two games.
Yeah.
But third-party stuff, which this will grow over time, though they didn't tell us exactly, like, when stuff's leaving. That's going to be the super interesting thing.
Mm-hmm.
Will any of this first-party stuff leave?
Yeah, I was going to say, even the first-party stuff, like, how long do you have to get Uncharted Collection? Like, you know, as an example, like, the counterpart to it is that, again, Microsoft came out. I don't even know what they said, but they said, at a certain point in time, they said, all first-party games are on Game Pass, day and date, forever.
Yeah, so it's going to be very important on, like, will the first-party stuff stay there?
And why would you take the Uncharted Collection off? Like, I don't understand why you would ever take it off at this point.
And that was the thing that was always baffling with PlayStation Now, is they would remove first-party stuff. All right, third-party, we have Ashen, Assassin's Creed Valhalla, Batman Arkham Knight, Celeste, City Skylines, Control, Dead Cells, Far Cry 3, Far Cry 4. Those are the PS4 remasters. Final Fantasy 15, For Honor, Hollow Knight, Guardians of the Galaxy, Mortal Kombat 11, Ultimate Ninja Store, Naruto Shippuden, NBA 2K22, Outer Wilds, Red Dead Redemption 2, Resident Evil, Soul Calibur 6, South Park, The Fractured But Whole, Artful Escape, The Crew 2, Tom Clancy's Division. You're going to notice a lot of Ubisoft stuff because Ubisoft Plus is coming to the PlayStation Plus tiers, which is a major get for PlayStation. It definitely seems like Ubisoft is going to be doing a lot of the heavy lifting for the third-party content.
I also think this version of whatever this is coming to Game Pass as well.
Probably, if not for a
little bit. They haven't said it yet. Yeah.
Yeah. Unless PlayStation,
it's fascinating to me that the Division, I haven't heard anybody talk about this, and I haven't confirmed it either way myself, but it's the Division, not the Division 2, which is really weird.
They're probably still putting content out that they hope people would be interested in buying for it, but who knows when Ubisoft, because I believe Ubisoft Plus is coming to PlayStation in general, and then this is like Ubisoft Plus for PlayStation Plus, so we might see that the differences through that. But yeah, it looks like they have deals with Ubisoft, like Square Enix, Bandai Namco seem to be doing a lot of heavy lifting there, but they did make deals with like Rockstar and Capcom and WB Games to get content on there. Overall, I think this looks like a pretty good like launch lineup, and then they're going to continue to add more games because they promise like, you know, like 400 games or something for this mid-tier.
Yeah, just to clarify, because like we're kind of glossing over it because like, it's already been talked about, but Ubisoft Plus is coming to PlayStation as it is coming to Xbox as well. And but then the part that's coming on the PlayStation second tier is called Ubisoft Plus Classics.
Okay, yeah, which is why you got Far Cry 3 remaster and Far Cry 4.
Yeah, so Ubisoft Plus, if it functions the same way that it's been functioning on the the Ubisoft Store PC platform, is that you pay X amount of dollars per month and you get every game that Ubisoft releases, every like gold edition of every game that Ubisoft releases. Like, you just have it. And the cross progression stuff is super interesting. The Ubisoft Plus Classics is where you're seeing like the Far Cry 3, Far Cry 4. You're not seeing the next whatever game that comes out from Ubisoft will not be on there. Like, I haven't heard anybody say anything about Immortals in any of this stuff as an example. That's one of the more recent. I haven't seen or heard about Riders Republic. Some of the more recent Ubisoft games that have been released. If you get Ubisoft Plus, you get that. All that in that package.
This is a like a perfect partnership for Ubisoft and PlayStation. PlayStation gets to add some games to their catalog, and Ubisoft can advertise their service on PlayStation.
So I meant
Plus.
The Ubisoft Plus Classic. I would assume 90 days from now will probably come to Game Pass as well, because Ubisoft needs to get some revenue going.
Yeah. Again, the only thing that would stop that is if PlayStation put a serious amount of money on a table and then added like an exclusivity to it. All right, now let's get into the classic games, which are going to be on tier 2 or the tier 3
$120 premium tier.
Yeah, give me just a second.
Yeah. So this is the part before Michael gets into this is the part that I was concerned about and I had a little bit of this conversation, and everybody's like, "Oh, like Game Pass has multiple tiers too." Like, okay, you have Xbox Live, which is PlayStation Plus. Then you have Xbox Game Pass, which is essentially second-tier PlayStation Plus Essential. Mm. And now you have Game Pass Ultimate, which would, in theory, be on par with PlayStation Plus Premium. The difference for me, and I'm going to put it out there before you start getting into these classic games, and so everybody understands where I'm coming from, is that when you go up that extra, like, everybody's like, "Oh, it's so expensive." I can play a game on my phone, and I can play the games on PC. If you don't own a PC, there's no reason for you to get Ultimate unless you are an avid phone gamer. So if you don't have any intention of playing on your phone,
and you need Live.
Or playing, yeah, but you can just get Game Pass.
No, but Game Pass, if you want to play online, you still need Live. So that's why you would get Ultimate.
I thought, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So,
but still, it's still there. Like, content-wise, if we're just looking at the games and where you can play the games, Game Pass has the advantage there compared to PlayStation. But okay, let's get into PlayStation Classics. This is supposed to be PS1, PS2, PSP games. The only ones that they talk about for the PlayStation Studio games, we're going to get Ape Escape, Hot Shots Golf, Intelligent Cube, Jumping Flash, Siphon Filter. Those are original PS1 games. And then Super Stardust Portable is a PSP game. Third-party games, all original PlayStation, Mr. Driller, Tekken 2, Worms World Party, and Worms Armageddon. Very disappointed with the amount of games. I don't understand why you don't advertise more games. I mean, there's more to come, so that this could get, you know, bigger over time. This seems weird to, like, build up hype by showing that. Classic games that they're cataloging as remasters, this is where the PS2 games come in, and they're basically just those PS2 games that they added trophy support and, like, stable frame rate to. So we got Ape Escape 2, Ark the Lad, Dark Cloud, Dark Cloud 2, Fantavision, Hot Shots Tennis, Jack 2, Jack 3, Jack X, Jack and Dexter, The Precursor's Legacy, Rogue Galaxy, Siren, Wild Arms. So these are just the PS2 classics that are on PS4, but they're just going to count them as games that qualify as, you know, the PS2 premium games. And then this is where it gets a little weird, Dave. I don't know how you feel about this. Under the classic games umbrella, they're counting BioShock Remastered, which is the PS4 remake, Borderlands: A Handsome Collection, PS4 remake, Bulletstorm Full Clip Edition, Kingdoms of Amalur: Re-Reckoning, and Lego Harry Potter Collection. These are all just PS4 games that are remastered of previous games, but they're counting it as that top premium tier, which to me, these are just PS4 games and they should be in that mid tier. At least that's how I feel about them. So, Dave, are these classic games enough for you to do the premium tier? Because I'm disappointed with this presentation there.
I don't care if there's 100 more games. I'm not doing it.
Yeah. I just don't... I know a lot of people are going to defend being like, well, they haven't given the full list. They gave a way fuller list for the mid-tier. I don't understand why they think this list would be enough to get someone like me to be like $120.
They don't care. Like, they don't. They're placating an audience. They're placating an audience. They're messing with you. They're saying... Oh, like, this is their cop-out. Like, in a year or in 18 months or in 24 months, they're going to go, hey, you know what? The $120 tier isn't working. We're dialing it back. Like, you know.
You guys didn't want to play old games. And it's just like, because you put, like, 20 on there.
Right.
And are just PS4 games. Like,
it's the same narrative that people used when Xbox came out and said, oh, all of these people use our backwards compatibility. And everybody's like, ah, look, it's because you give the games with gold for free. That's why they're using them. And now this is be like places like, if you didn't play them, they're gonna be like, well, you didn't give us anything.
Yeah,
because like, they don't care, because it's too much work.
That's basically what it comes down to.
It's too much work.
Yeah. Like, the only like silver lining with this is they did say players who previously purchased digital versions of select games from the original PlayStation and PSP generation will not have to make a separate purchase or sign up for PlayStation Plus to download these titles to their PS4 and PS5. Gives me just a little bit of hope that we're going to get more than just the games that they announced, that they're just... their software emulation from the PlayStation 1 stuff is just literally what's currently purchasable.
No, I think... but I also think they're going super slow with it because they want people to get the $120 tier. Like, you know, and not just be like, oh, well, you know, like, they can't... like, Michael, they can't just say, here's 100 games on... I don't even know, because I didn't play enough PS2 games, or I never played a PSP. Like, I don't know the correct answer for this, but, like, they've never made you change your account, which is great. But I think if they turn too many switches on, they're going to run into the issue of where people are like, well, I don't need it. I already own all the stuff. Now I can play it again.
No, I know. That's definitely going to be an issue, especially, like, for me who has, like...
Because what happens if they bring a PS3 game? I don't even know off the top of my head because I don't even remember. Spec Ops The Line. That's the first one that comes to mind, okay? I got it on PS Plus, on PS3. My PS3 doesn't work anymore. I can't play it digitally on the PS4. Now it shows up on PS Premium. Okay, I can play it because I own it, right?
They'll get around that is because they'll be like, you can't stream this because, you know...
So what game would be an example of something that you own digitally? Like, you own a digital PSP game, you can just play it, right?
Well, no. What they say as they become available in the store, so they're going to put like a
become available, because they don't want to just sit there and go, here's 150 games that are available.
Oh, yeah, no, for sure.
And somebody
sure.
like Michael's like, oh, cool, I own 147 of them.
Yeah, and then like, I end up day one pissing off their servers because I'm just pulling all these PSP games or PS1 games. But yeah, I just don't understand. Like, this is the thing that we always get frustrated with PlayStation, is like just their messaging, because it's just like, if you have better games that will be available day one, why aren't you putting them on this list? Because none of these games are making me go like, holy shit, yeah, you know what, I want to just, you know, I want to get the premium tier. Like, PlayStation, I literally want to give you $120 a year.
Mm-hmm. But they're not giving me a reason to do it.
Yeah. And all it would probably take is like two or three more games on this like list to make me go, you know what? Cool. This shows me that they're making some deep cuts, or they're going into their bag of tricks and pulling something cool. But this is super disappointing. And then just the fact that all the PS2 games are literally just the ones that they, you know, did the remastered work for a while ago, which makes me think like, oh shit, is this the end of the PS2? Like, are we not going to add any more PS2 games?
We're turning the servers off, but you can buy the games again.
Because
or you can get them premium.
Because now, like, because they only pulled
they're
the
going to use premium as an excuse to shut stuff down again, like heavily shut stuff down.
Which makes me almost want to turn on my PS3 now and just buy some PS1 classics before they're like, you know, we're done. Because Square Enix took down, like, some of the PS1 classics recently. You know, they, like, turned off the licensing for that tour. I'm like, shit, am I going to have to pull the Silent Hill games now just so I can have them? But what worries me about this particularly is the only PS2 games they put on the list are the PS2 games they did that work for and added trophies to. So in theory, every time, or at least in my head, if only the PS2 games that are available have trophy support, then next time you add a PS2 game, it has to have trophy support.
Have trophy support. And which they're going to be like, well, that takes time.
Yeah.
And if you're not, but that takes time, but enough people aren't invested in the service because there isn't enough product on the service. Like,
yeah.
They're painting themselves into a corner, but that corner has a trap door that they can just drop out of.
Yeah, yeah. And if they came out in front and be like, we're adding trophy support to all the PS2 games that we add, but that means we're only going to add one or two PS2 games a month, that would be enough for me to be like, yeah, you know what? Fuck 100%. It. I'll take that game.
And here's the next 6 months. Here's our plan. Yeah. June, July, August, September, October, November. Like, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2. Like, okay, we do it all the time. Like, the gamer does it all the time. I invest in Game Pass Ultimate for the potential of what is coming and what has been delivered.
Yeah.
I buy into every Destiny season for the potential of what is coming and what has been delivered. You'll play Fall Guys on the Switch, and you probably would have bought it because of what you know you're getting and what they've already delivered. Like, yeah, it's very common. Like, we do it with Netflix and Hulu and cable TV, and if you buy an NBA package or if you're getting anything, any subscription service is, for the most part, what they've done for you and what you are hoping that they are going to do.
Yeah.
The problem we have right now is that we don't know what they're going to do because it comes out in 33 days or 31 days or
technically
hell, like, what,
next
12?
Week. Yeah, certain regions. So
yeah, and is it going to be a gimped version then? Like,
yeah, I just don't understand. Like, again, they were very clear that, like, hey, this isn't the full lineup of games, but the stuff they put out there for the top tier, I think the mid tier is a fantastic deal.
Yeah, I was worried about it in general. Like, that's that list there is potential enough for me to be like, hey, you know what, fine. 30 more bucks or whatever. What's 30 bucks for the for the rest of the year? Like, I'll do that for to know that. I mean, here's the deal. Like, here's where I'm thinking at this point in time with some of this third party stuff, with some of these Ubisoft things that are going on and some of the stuff that Game Pass is going on. And we're going to delve into it a little bit more. So if I have Game Pass Ultimate and I have PlayStation Second, I don't
extra
Game Pass Ultimate, PlayStation Extra, and there's 15 games that are coming out in the next year that I'm interested in, like, what's the potential that I'm dropping $70 on all 15 of them? Not
yeah.
Like, not it might be six of them that I have to really buy, four of them, worst case scenario, like nine. Like,
yeah,
you know, like, they're going to come to these other platforms, and it's going to, I think it's going to help game sales overall, because the developers that are releasing these games on Game Pass Ultimate or PlayStation Plus are getting a significant amount of money because the companies want their services to continue to grow. And then those games are on those services, and so they're getting player engagement, they're getting players to play it, they're getting people to talk about it, like, all those things are happening. And then the game that decides not to go on there probably will do okay because people haven't had to buy the other games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, we all know, we have, like, okay, I got $300 for 2022 gaming budget. That's what, four titles, you know, or I don't even know what the number is. If your budget's like $500 and, but then if half of it's taken up by the subscription services, then yeah, the games that you're going to buy, that it'll be better. Like,
yeah.
And Sony can't sit there and just be ripping on Game Pass and talking about they can't release big games on it and then, you know, put their marquee franchises on there. Like, I'm happy that Infamous and Uncharted and Returnal and all this stuff are on there, but at the same time, it's Sony talking out of both ends of their mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah, know. Yeah, no, it definitely is. And If we go to the PS3 games that are streaming on that top tier, it's Crest Commando, Demon Souls, Echo Chrome, Hot Shots Golf, both of them, Eco, Infamous, Infamous 2, Festival of Blood, Locoroco, Motorstorm Apocalypse, Motorstorm RC, Puppeteer, Rain, Ratchet and Clank Quest for Booty, A Crack in Time, and Into the Nexus, Resistance 3, Super Stardust, Tokyo Jungle, When Vikings Attack, Ashura's Wrath, Castlevania, Devil May Cry HD, Enslaved Odyssey to the West, Fear, Lost Planet 2, Ninja Gaiden Sigma 2, and Red Dead Redemption Undead Nightmares. One thing I will say is Ashura's Wrath, Castlevania Lord's Shadow, Enslaved, Fear, Lost Planet 2, Ninja Gaiden Sigma 2, and Red Dead Redemption are all backwards compatible on the Series X, and they add auto HDR, and in some of those games they stabilize the frame rate. You will not be getting that on the streaming PS3 thing. The first party lineup is kind of okay, but it's still missing, like, where are the original God of War games? Where's Resistance 1 and 2? There's stuff on here that
where's Resistance 1 and 2? Why is 3 there and 1 and 2 aren't?
And if it's a licensing thing, find a way to communicate that. Or, I know it'll take work, if it's a song that is preventing you from doing it, go back and patch the game and remove that song.
Well, and the other part that I would like to know, with these different tiers, like the way you're breaking these tiers up, with them not being platform agnostic, again, going back to Ultimate of like, okay, yes, like, and you, I did look again, I always forget, but yes, you do need... You can't just buy Game Pass without buying Live. Sorry, yeah. I keep getting that confused. But like somebody like me, okay, so we've already established that I'll probably jump up to the $90 tier. But then if I get an itch or we want to do something cool for the show and like you want me or the community wants me to play Enslaved, okay?
I'll be like, let's go to the Xbox.
Well, I'm using that as an example. Okay, Ratchet and Clank Crack in Time.
Yeah.
I've played it, but I'm using that as an example. Can I go up to tier 3 for a month or 2 months and then go back down?
That's going to be the thing. They said it's going to be very seamless to upgrade.
Yeah, I can, and I'm aware that it's $22 a month or whatever to do that, but I don't want to, you know. Like,
I'm assuming you're going to be locked in for the remainder of when you upgrade. To where if you like, I'm upgrading, it'll be like, cool, you're upgraded until...
That's
January.
Fine. Like, I'll do the $90 tier and I'll pay for the whole year, okay? So I do that July 1st, okay? But coming October, somebody decides they want to donate to our Patreon and they want to give us $100 for me to play Ratchet and Clank on stream. Okay, like, if that's the case, I'd probably just go find a copy of Ratchet and Clank and buy it.
Yeah.
As using a broad example, can I just bump up from tier 2 to tier 3 for a month for 30 days and come back down?
No. You won't. You'll come back down when you're... subscription expires, and then you'll have to re-up to a specific.
So once I decide for the $90 thing, I'm either in the $90 thing or I'm not, or I'm in the $120 or I'm not.
Yeah, until expiration, and then maybe you can like set your renewal.
That's annoying.
It will just be easier for them to do that as opposed to doing different transactions. They're like, oh shit, okay, let's refund you for 2 more months.
No, I don't need to be refunded. I'm just saying that I want to, like, I go on a leave of absence from work, and I'm going to play a bunch of PS3 classic games for 30 days. Can I just go up for the month to?
That would be a cool thing to consider, but I think they would be worried about people being like, oh, yeah, let's upgrade my subscription, and then 2 months into it, they're going to be like, no, let me go downgrade again. They're like, well, then we got to fucking issue you a refund. But if they do say, like, upgrade for a month, if that's an option, that would be cool.
I'm willing to pay month to month in that situation.
Like, yeah.
But I already paid the $90 thing. You add some new PS2 game to it that I want to play, but it's the only one that I want to play.
I assume if you are 6 months into your subscription, they'll be like, do you want to upgrade? And you'll be like, yes, I'll upgrade. And they're like, okay, here's the prorated version of what 6 months equal. And then you're locked in for that, as opposed to having people bouncing from month to month. So that would be a good option to have of just like, hey, do you want to upgrade for a month? Cool. Because that would be something I would consider doing. I would probably... Right. I'm right there with you. I'm probably going to do the $90 tier just because
until
it's like,
this library gets better.
Yeah, and it sucks because I really wanted to give them the $120 because I like old games, but like it's just not there.
But nothing so far, nothing on that list is being like, you know what? I need to do that versus if I really want to play that, I'm going to go grab my PS3 or I'm going to make it work.
Yeah. which I do have my PS3 set up in a bedroom. Anytime I want to play a PS3 game, it's ready. My PSP, I was excited though when they did say like, hey, if you purchase some PS1, PSP games, and they'll be available for download once they become available on PS4, PS5. I immediately was like, shit, let me load up my PSP because I don't even know what I own.
I just wonder like how much, I just like, this will be a classic Sony though, that they're going to put one or two or three PS3 games on there that were Plus games.
I mean, okay.
And like, technically I own them, right? As a PS3 Plus subscriber, like, I own these games.
But yeah, right? But they haven't, I don't think they did state if you're going to be able to stream those if you had purchased them before, because I...
So you're talking about PS2 to PS4, like PS2 games that they released on PS4, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, I'm talking about those, because you already can download them, but specifically PS1 games.
Didn't they give away PSP games as Plus titles for the Vita?
Yes, so those would be some that you'd be able to download, but no, not the PS3 games for you to stream.
Yeah.
But yeah, there would be a chance that you'd be like, oh, that was a PS1 game that they gave away for Plus. Technically, I have that license.
Let's and they're see saying if I can that download. That would be playable on the PS5.
When it becomes available on the PS5, yes.
Okay.
Which is why I'm like, I got to load up my PSP, which is like behind me. I think you can see it in my camera view. I'm going to have to like charge that up because I don't even know what I own as a download.
Josh is going to copy and paste this list against his spreadsheets.
Yeah, and see what he can do. And he's going to be even more disappointed because it's just like not going to be enough. All right, let's move on to the last story. Okay, all right. We were just talking last week about like how all this is really important for Microsoft. Bethesda/Xbox has officially delayed Starfield and Redfall till 2023, the first half of 2023. They basically said they just needed more time to produce the game that they wanted, and they want to make sure it's, you know, a good launch and it's not buggy. Let's just start. Redfall, I had no clue that this was dated.
I don't even think that you can't be mad. I don't know. They gave Redfall a 2022 window and they probably never should have in the first place.
Yeah. But I never thought it was going to come out despite them giving that thing.
I still don't think Ragnarok's coming out 2022.
Yeah. That's me. Sony this week should probably announce a release date just to be like, fuck Xbox. Because Starfield being delayed.
If you're Corey Barlog and you've been talking to Sony that week about, hey guys, I don't really think it's going to hit 2022, and then like you roll out of bed like on a Tuesday morning or whatever day it was, and Barlog's phone's blowing up that Starfield's been delayed, he's probably like, fuck!
Yeah.
Like they're going to make me do it.
He immediately is like, all right, get Ben on the phone. I know you told him they can do their own game, but get Ben on the phone. Get Nexies on the phone. Get all hands on deck.
He's like, he's sitting at dinner telling his wife, hey, I'm really close to thinking they're going to let me push the game to like February or March. You know, like they really think it's important. And it's like, ding, Starfield delayed. Oh, honey, I got to go to work. What?
Yeah.
I got to go to work.
I'll see you in 6 months. Which is horrible to think crunch like that. But like, if you're PlayStation right now, you're like, we really need to try and hit this year. But yeah, so Starfield, which is basically Microsoft's only game this year, their big exclusive, is being delayed into the first half of 2023. Phil Spencer has already apologized multiple times for it. There's a lot of heat on him because people were just like, why'd you date it? Though it was Todd Howard, the Bethesda head, the Bethesda game studio head, that was basically saying like, we wouldn't have given it 11/11 if we couldn't hit that date. Like, it's locked in. We're going to hit that date. And someone at Microsoft or Xbox was like, you know what? We can't afford this game to have a bad launch or be buggy, so we're going to delay it, even though it's going to hurt. Like, I don't think Phil Spencer and Xbox wanted to fucking delay this game.
No, but they don't want Skyrim 2.0.
They don't want, they don't want Cyberpunk. They don't want Fallout 76.
Well, they don't want a Bethesda game. They want a Microsoft Bethesda game. Like, see, here's the part that, okay, like, I get it. Like, everybody's upset. Like delays are happening. Like, we're coming out of the post-pandemic, and maybe things aren't as far along as, you know, we're really not even in post-pandemic. It's, I'm using that term lightly. But maybe stuff's not as far along as people thought it was, like, in person as an entire group seeing stuff versus individuals seeing it sitting at home in their offices. And you're seeing it live. You're seeing a group of people play it or, you know, conversations around whatever the hell is going on. But the people, like the fan bases that are mad that companies are going, hey, it's not ready, when you, the reverse of it is what you had happen with Cyberpunk, or you have happened with, like, people forget, like, Skyrim's considered to be like a top 10 game of all time, right? Like, mm-hmm. And that thing ran for shit on PS3.
Well,
like,
yeah, the longer you played, the
worse it got. Do you want that for Starfield?
And that's Fallout been Bethesda's seven, whole
Fallout
thing.
Fallout 76 was awful.
Yeah.
Fallout 4 had bugs, and they released the, like, they were the marquee studio for get it out the door, and we'll patch it and band-aid it as we go. Like, that was their thing. And Microsoft, whether you like it or don't like it, you can point at them and laugh that Halo, you know, got delayed, and they still don't have Halo right. Like,
no,
they don't.
Halo is worse today than it was six months ago.
So why release Starfield and have another Halo or have another Cyberpunk? Why continue? Like, why did you buy Bethesda just to let them keep being Bethesda?
Yeah.
Like, stop. Stop it.
Honestly, if Microsoft didn't own Bethesda,
this game's coming out.
Yeah, this game's coming out 11/11. It's going to sell well, but it's going to be a buggy fucking mess like it always is. Microsoft is allowing them to take time, even though it's going to hurt them so goddamn much. Like, this was the Game Pass thing for the rest of the year.
This was their stake in the ground. Like, this was their flag. This is the flag that they were planting for Game Pass.
And now...
And it's not going to be there. And it looks terrible. Like, we just talked about, if Ragnarok doesn't come out, this holiday looks awful.
It's fucking
awful.
Splatoon 3, like, is going to just dominate this year.
Well, you want to hear my crazy prediction now? Everybody's going to roll their eyes. You want to hear it?
It's going to be Gotham Knights, isn't it?
Gotham Knights on Game Pass.
No, exactly what I was getting to. Like, this is going to cost Microsoft so much money in terms of blown sales that they aren't going to be able to add to Game Pass, because I do feel like this was going to add...
Well, lost $70 sales of Starfield, period.
Yes.
For people that just want to play Starfield. Lost.
And new subscribers.
Lost Game Pass subscribers.
Yeah.
Lost new Game Pass subscribers. And whatever cost it is to get something like Gotham Knights on the service to make it look viable this holiday.
And if you're a Gotham Knights...
And it's probably two games or three
it's
to offset
have to be a
the
lot,
Starfield.
Yeah. And if you're like Warner Brothers, you probably already had a price in your head what you wanted before this delay.
That just went higher.
Yeah. Now you're just like, I'm going to double what I was going to... The barest minimum I was going to take, it's doubled now because of this. Yeah, this sucks, though. Like, there's something has to change in the games industry where we just can't fucking put release dates on shit until, like, three months out.
We find out a game is in development, or, a game is announced, it's in development. We see some stuff around the game. We see a gameplay event in August, and it comes out in October. Like, that's how it has to go.
Yeah, because this is... It just makes the industry look bad to the average player. Yeah. Like, we're being way more understanding than most people are.
Yeah.
Just because we've talked to developers and know how it is.
You see a game this summer at Summer Game Fest in 2022, and you know it exists. And then next summer, you get another update on the game. You get an August event, and you get an October date. Like, that's the cadence. You know it exists. You get some more information about it. You don't hear about Windows. You don't hear about it because everybody's like, you said this. Like, Redfall didn't even really have a date, and they have to call it a delay.
Mm-hmm.
It had a window. Is it fiscal year 2022? Because that doesn't end until like April.
they said first. Yeah, and at least now we have first half 2023, which
could be January 1st to June 1st or to June 30th. That's on the first half.
And because we have literally seen nothing of Redfall,
right?
That will probably have to do another delay.
Something went wrong. Like, something terrible happened in the last couple of weeks because the Xbox game showcase, the Xbox Bethesda showcase, had a Starfield-themed logo to it. Like,
yeah, the background.
Like, the Starfield
was
going to be the focus. So something, as they were getting ready for this event, like, sparked it where Phil's like, you're not doing it.
Yeah, like, it's not there. Like, it came down to them being like, okay, we can release the game 11/11. And here's our roadmap for patches. And it was just like, no. We're going to have a Fire Stick out this holiday, and we're going to be on Samsung TVs in January. We cannot have a buggy mess being streamed to people's televisions, and that's their first experience with Game Pass.
Well, yeah, Spencer probably told him, you're not going to continue to do what you've done. We didn't buy you to do that.
Yeah. Bought you to be the best versions of yourselves.
And this ain't it.
Yeah. And, you know, take what you can from, like, their funding to not make a buggy mess, especially like
if I'm Ubisoft, I am figuring out huge media push on Avatar gameplay development. Like
Skull
like,
and Bones was just rated by the ESRB, so like or not ESRB, like, the Korean rating
like
board.
I, you know, if I'm these companies that were like, you got to go to your company and go, I need a higher marketing budget. Well, why? Well, Starfield's not coming. Like, I need a higher budget. Like, we got to plaster this in front of people. Like, we have a potential to sell. I don't even know what it is. I'd have to look at the calendar. But if it could be Skull and Bones, if it's Avatar, if it's Indiana Jones, if it's, I don't even know, if it's Gotham Knights, like,
yeah,
your budget's got to get bigger.
Yeah, and but I guarantee all the other Microsoft studios are right now like, hell yeah, our game got delayed too. Because now you have to move everything that you had for the first half of 2023 has to get out of the way of Starfield. And it's not going to get moved up. It's just going to get pushed back.
Well, the potential, but it's too far. It's too far out. The potential, I would assume, would have been Hellblade 2. But
yeah,
with it being in Unreal 5, like, there's no way it's ready.
Yeah. Maybe a small chance if the scale is the same scale it was back in the first one. But they've kind of shown that this is not on the same scale. It's on a higher scale. Yeah, I don't know what Xbox is going to do this holiday other than open up the wallet and add games to it. But we were just talking about this year's pretty dire game release wise to where, like, if their answer this holiday is Gotham Knights comes to Game Pass, it's going to be a rough fucking year for Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they'll have the new Forza, I believe, will be ready for that, because that team has been working on the Forza game for a while. But that's not enough. And Gran Turismo did really well, so like I would
how
feel
far
like...
How far did Forspoken get pushed out?
The end of the year, but that's PlayStation exclusive. So
Forspoken, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
All right. So real quick, I'm in August. Saints Row.
Get Saints Row. Get Saints Row, get Gotham Knights.
September. I'm assuming Warhammer's already going to be on there.
Yeah, it seems like a perfect Game Pass game. There's not a lot.
October's Forspoken. If you're going to have a PlayStation exclusive with Forspoken, Gotham Knights is... like 2 weeks afterwards, October 25th, it's got to be on there. There is nothing, I'm on Game Informer's website, there is nothing slated for release in November on this article.
Yeah, and they can't make a deal for Call of Duty because they're in like a weird like free state with Activision, so they probably can't sign in a Game Pass deal for Modern Warfare 2. Yeah, there was rumors that there might be like a Gears of War Master Chief Collection type deal.
Bright Memory Infinite, maybe.
It's a one developer,
yeah,
studio. Like, I doubt like it's gonna be on that scale. They better hope they have like that Gears of War remastered ready to go or something. Or like hopefully Double Fine. Like Double Fine makes smaller games from time to time. Like maybe Double Fine will have something for them this year, but it's not looking good. So PlayStation, get God of War out this year, and it will be because, like, you know, like right now PlayStation, like the Switch is number one in terms of sales month to month, although I think PlayStation had a good month in Europe this past month, but it's basically been a Switch and a Series S like at one and two of the charts, and PlayStation 5 following third. This holiday, they're not going to have any real competition from either platform. So they need to hit God of War out to just have like an amazing holiday season.
I mean, Ninja Turtle Shredder's Revenge. I'm going through this list of undated stuff and I'm like, I'm not seeing anything that's like jumping out.
To be fair, I think that is going to end up coming to Game Pass just because .emus. Previous games have come to Game Pass, so.
Yeah, I know you know way more about this than I do, like about some of these games. Like I don't, but I mean, there's just a ton of PC games that just aren't released or aren't dated. But I don't know. Octopath Traveler, that's an iOS. Never mind.
It's already out on Game Pass, anyways.
Yeah, like everything I own, like, oh, Mario Rabbids, oh, Switch. I mean, Marvel Midnight Suns, maybe.
Yeah, that was just rated by the Korean Rating Board, so yeah. That's coming very soon. Maybe that could do something for them.
This is a bad year for gaming, man. It's a bad, bad year.
Yeah, like, God of War is going to have to save, like, this year, this holiday season. Because as much as we're interested in Gotham Knights...
I almost hate to say it,
but
it sounds terrible that... No, I know that. I'm not Gotham Knights is not a game of the year contender. It's just a game we're going to have a bunch of fun with, kicking the crap out of things. And,
yeah,
and
no, that's what I'm
done.
Saying. But like when Gotham Knights is going to be like the default game of the year contender when it has no right to be...
Yeah.
...is scary. Like, and the Harry Potter, I think, also has a co-marketing deal with PlayStation. So like the Harry Potter
Elden
game
Ring and
out,
Horizon are just going to be like say that you're releasing Horizon again.
Elden Ring would be a hell of a deal for Game Pass to make. Even though it sold 13 million copies, that could
There's
be...
There's still a bunch of people that didn't play it. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yep. Or, I know it's Activision, so it wouldn't happen, but like getting Sekiro on there at this point in time. Like,
yeah.
Just...
Something.
Yeah, like it's bad. Or the reverse of it, okay, getting, which won't happen either, but getting Sekiro on PlayStation Premium.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that can't happen.
Maybe they can make a deal if they can get I don't think Disney would be down, but Fallen Order Survivor is the sequel supposed to be coming out this year. Maybe they can swing for that, but I doubt it.
It's already kind of EA Play with Game Pass, right?
Yeah, but they don't release day one on premium, so.
Well, I mean, at least I know that, like, one of it's, yeah. It's...
Yeah.
But is that coming? Because EA's canceling their summer event. Like you don't cancel your summer event and announce Fallen Order 2 without
an
event.
But they did, in a media call, they said this year they will have a remake, a big AAA game, a big sports game, and then a smaller partner game. So, like, you'd think Survivor would be one of it.
Yeah, so does Dead Space Remastered make it to Game Pass in January?
Could be.
Yeah.
Is that too late at that point?
It is, but not if you, like, piggyback it off of Gotham Knights and something else.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. They find themselves in a fucking really tough spot. so, we'll see what happens. But that's it for news and what's delayed.
Yeah. So, what we're playing and watching. So, I played more Switch, MLB The Show on Switch. I did, you know, like another Destiny Live event, just making sure I'm ready for next season. You know, the Guardian Games is just like their version of like the Olympics. It's dumb. It's kind of annoying, actually. But there actually is a good, you know, me, like, if there's a good gun to go after, then I try to go after it. So, I've got a couple decent rolls on this SMG they added just for this event. The other night when I was raiding, I did get the raid exotic, which is hard to get. I think like four people in our clan or three people in our clan have it, and I'm one of them now. So, haha. No. yeah. So that's kind of been it. Softball starts up for me this week. So that'll take up at least one more night. So I just, you know, full disclosure, I lost a manager at my store already. Like, so I'm down a manager body, probably ran her off. You know, so that's going to mess with my schedule a little bit. I was really hoping to try to get almost close to, like, a set schedule as a store manager. And if I could get almost to a set schedule, I could actually, like, have a stream schedule. Like, I'm going to stream on Wednesday night or something. And I can still attempt to do that. But I'm not sure. I want to go back to Hollow Knight. I want to start Horizon 2. And it's, like, the middle of May. And I think I'm only, like, three games done on my 12. So, like, I'm starting to get a little bit behind. At this point, I'm counting Witch Queen.
You're going to subscribe to PlayStation Plus Premium so you can play some, like, two-hour PS1 games.
Well, I still have, like, Death Door and stuff that I want to play. And like, I feel like if I get into Hollow Knight, it would take me a couple, you know, like, a week or two to beat it. I can't put MLB The Show as a game that I beat. You don't really beat those games. So.
Just unless your Road to the Show player retires or has a career-ending injury.
Yeah.
It's the only way to beat that game.
Maybe I should start running into the wall.
Yep. So, just when it says your player's tired, if you're a pitcher, just ignore it.
Ansel and I did go see Doctor Strange. So I enjoyed that. It's not a spoiler. I didn't get the... There was a whole bunch of hullabaloo headlines about it should have been rated R. Like, I
think that's just parents being fucking cowards. Yeah.
Like, so, I mean...
But it was gorier than most Marvel movies have ever been, but it definitely isn't, like, rated R.
Yeah. You should watch WandaVision, or at least watch a recap of WandaVision before you go to see this movie.
Yeah, yeah. Though I would say it almost ignores some of the ending of WandaVision.
But I think you get a better idea of the characters, of the character development.
No, definitely
in the movie.
Helps. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a concern that I had like as I was watching it. I'm like, huh. Like, yes, you would be fine. Like, I mean, I'm not saying you would miss anything, but I think there might be a couple of things that you would be like, what is going on? Just for 5 seconds.
Well, yeah, if you don't have a Disney Plus subscription, you're just kind of like, how did she end up in this state?
Just if you don't have Disney Plus and you have no desire to get Disney Plus and you're going to go see the Marvel movie, watch a 30-minute YouTube video on WandaVision. I think it's worth your time before you go see Doctor Strange. That's all I'll say. Yeah, I've been watching more of that Netflix garbage. So because it's easy to watch a 20-minute episode of something that's just like when I'm tired.
So, yeah, I've been pretty sick, like real, real bad. Like I believe my group caught COVID from Doctor Strange when we saw it. Because 20 minutes into Doctor Strange, there was someone who was just coughing up their lungs, and of course they didn't have a mask. And we're eating popcorn, so as soon as we heard the coughing, it's like, all right, put the mask on. Got pretty sick from that, and I ended up having to miss 3 days of work, and I never call off work unless I'm doing it out of spite. It's just been a lot of me just kind of playing MLB The Show when I can, but even that wasn't holding my attention span.
Yeah, it wears you out, like mentally it messes with you.
Yeah, so it's been hard to start games. I played a little bit more the Cat Cafe Manager, but I finished everything I could do in that game. So there's literally not much else for me to do. I downloaded a bunch of Game Pass games. I continued to just keep adding Game Pass games.
And I just played Download Simulator.
Oh, man, give me a game where I just manage hard drive space on a game console. So I've just been doing that and watching just a lot of random stuff, like watching too much NBA, watching the playoffs, just way too much.
There was 8 game sevens between the NHL and the NBA over the weekend.
Yeah, some wild like that. So ton of NBA, but not much video games. And I've just been watching random movies, but honestly, I've been so on NyQuil, DayQuil, I don't remember most of the movies that I've watched. So I'll do better next week. I am first day I've been able to breathe through my nose. So I'll have more ability to play a video game as the week goes on, but there isn't a lot of new stuff to talk about.
Yeah,
which is why I'm just looking at Fallout 3. Like, am I going back to Fallout 3? The answer is probably yeah.
So, all right. Questions and comments # #AskDigitalDays. You can send us questions using that hashtag. You can put them on Facebook. You can put them on Twitter. You can put them on Discord. Ollie sent one in. I did answer this on Facebook, but I'll talk about it on the show. Just catching up on the pod, I'm somewhat a sneakerhead as well and was wondering if I was the only one who wanted to know which Jordans Dave bought. I did respond to him directly on Facebook with a picture of them, but they are the Air Jordan 13 Retro, navy blue, black, and white. I'll show them on the stream really quick. So that's what they look like if you're watching on stream. Angela says I cannot wear them with shorts because I have twigs for legs. So we'll see how that goes. I did attempt to get the white and navy blue Retro 6s, which I had 20 years ago. I failed at getting those. Although my friend, a good friend of mine, has a couple of, or he ended up with 2 pairs that might be a half size too small. I think I can fit them, but she doesn't think I can fit them. So we'll see. So I won't, if I put them on and they don't fit, I will not buy them just to buy them. I'm not that foolish anymore. So, but yes, the sneaker itch has been scratching again, and I'm not really sure why or what. And I don't really go anywhere. I'm not wearing these shoes to work. I'm not using them to cut the lawn. That's for sure. So, lately, the main thing that my wife and I have been doing is going out to dinner and going to the movies. Nobody's gonna really see me in the movies.
And you don't want to take good shoes to a movie theater.
Right. So, all right. So I think, that's it for the week. So you can follow us on socials. On the main account for Twitter is @DigitalDaysPod. where Michael does a really, really good job of retweeting random stories throughout the week, and I don't. Michael's account is at @TheFirstMJC. Mine is at @GoodDaveHunt. You can join our Facebook group, our Discord server. They're all linked in the show notes. Patreon, we will get back on the Patreon bandwagon because I think an easy bonus episode for us to talk about is Doctor Strange.
Mm-hmm.
So we should be able to get that taken care of, as well as we're still looking for suggestions or just overall Patreon suggestions. I don't know, like we've done 15, 13, 14, I don't know the exact number of bonus episodes, and we're kind of running out of ideas. So there's almost a part of me that's like, okay, maybe we drop the bonus episode entirely. Or we change it to like quarterly or something and, you know, try to offer something else. But we would love to hear from the community as what you guys would like, whether you're subscribing to Patreon or not subscribing to Patreon. Any kind of suggestions we're open to. You can send them to us. However, most of you have multiple ways of contacting myself or Michael. And rest assured, if you contact me with an idea, I do run it through Michael, and Michael runs it through me, so it's not going to be something that just one of us says something and that's what happens. But
yeah. We
would like your input on our Patreon, as well as please leave a review, share the show. Retweets are always super helpful. Sharing on Facebook is super helpful. Liking the page on Facebook. no, Curry, I'm not playing Judgment. So, no, I don't know. If that's what I need to do, that's what I need to do. So... But yep, you can check all that stuff out linked in the show notes. And I hope you all have a great week and keep moving forward.
Don't be a dick. I almost forgot I was supposed to say something. Okay. Don't be a dick. See you guys.